Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 10th of December. Second City performers are with us this hour, and we're going to have us some fun. Second City opened its doors in Chicago. I can't believe they've been around this long. Isn't it incredible? I used to go see them when I was in high school and lived in the Chicago area. 1959 is when they opened, and isn't it amazing the talent that has been developed from this theater? There are people like Alan Arkin and Barbara Harris, and of course so many of the Saturday Night Live people, Gilda Radner, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi. They really are more than this theater now in the Chicago area, the north side of Chicago. They have resident stages in Toronto, ensembles entertaining over 1 million people all over the USA. And they're in Milwaukee now through December 16. Dysfunctional Holiday Review is in Milwaukee at the Marcus Center Vogel Hall. It's a dose of seasonal satire where neither holiday film classics, family gatherings, nor Christmas carols are too sacred for a show that is the perfect alternative, as their PR piece goes, to the same old holiday shows. We have three of the performers who are in that show with us this hour of the program, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls. You can call us at 800-486-8655. You can email talk@wpr.org, or you can post on the Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page, and that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Or you can tweet. We keep forgetting about tweet. I do because I'm old, but you can tweet. And we have a tweet, we have a page for just that. That's at K Dunn Show. Three guests with us this hour. Kate Friedman is performing and is incredibly honored to perform with Second City. Kate is a Chicago native who performs weekly with her best friends, the Katie Dids, and she's been seen in comedies all over the world. And Kate, thank you so much for joining us. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us, Kathleen.
Yeah, our great pleasure. Also joining us is Neil Dandade. He is honored to be performing with the cast of Second City. He moved to Chicago from outside Philadelphia, where he studied theater and, the bio goes, slept through pre-med classes at Swarthmore College. And that's a good thing, because look where he is now. Neil, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. Great to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. And Eddie Mukika is from Hialeah, Florida, moved to Chicago in 2010. After being awarded a scholarship through Second City's Outreach and Diversity Program, he's a graduate of the Second City's Conservatory. And thank you, Eddie, so much for being with us as well.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yeah. You know, it must be so hard, or maybe it isn't hard, to be witty and funny all the time. Isn't it hard?
Yeah, I mean, actually, Kathleen, to tell you the truth, I don't know that any of us, I mean, I know I'm certainly not witty and funny all the time, although I wish I was.
Yeah, it's funny to, you have that, you know, where you're on stage and you're funny, and then when you're off stage, when you do this type of work, people expect you to be funny all the time, but it's not always the case.
Right.
But, you know, also what we do is so based intrinsically on our personalities that I would say Kate's approach to humor, Eddie's approach to humor is so based on their personalities that I wonder if you know, being quote-unquote witty all the time is part and parcel of being yourself all the time.
Right.
Which is certainly big in our work, and I think that's different, you know, with what we do in improvisation and sketch comedy versus maybe other disciplines of comedy.
Yeah. Totally. Kate, what's your approach to humor?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, kind of just jumping off of what Neil said, it's just showing my point of view on everything. You know, my approach to humor is just kind of being honest about how I feel about things. And usually that's the easiest way to find a satirical point of view, if you're just being honest with yourself about how you feel. So I just kind of go for the honesty approach to comedy.
Neil, how about you?
I'd say very similar to what Kate said in the way of honesty. I think, you know, my background is a little unique. I come from a family, everyone is involved in the medical profession, and I'm actually the only one out of my mother, father, brother, and sister who is not involved in the medical world. And so for me, you know, I was sort of the silly answer to the very serious scientific environment in my own home growing up. So I think my approach to comedy very much, you know, takes an intellectual approach and then at any point in time is willing to abandon the seriousness of that to be silly. I would say that plays a large part in the way I look at humor.
Do you think the medical world needs more humor?
I do. I very much do. I think that, you know, there are a lot of very talented clinicians that are very good at their jobs, that do a lot of good for a lot of people. But, you know, there's a sort of a bedside manner, I think, that sometimes is missing that humor really helps with.
Eddie, how about you?
I would say mine is similar to Kate. I go off a lot of personal experiences, and whether it be family, the culture that I was brought up in, day-to-day experiences. You know, sometimes I'll come in with a scene idea or, you know, based off of something that happened that very day to me in my daily life. So, yeah, a lot of personal experiences and my upbringing.
Why is it, do you think, that Second City has been giving us such a wonderful talent on television, in the theater for so many years now? Why did it catch on, and what is its staying power?
Gosh, that's a great question, Kathleen. I think it starts with the training. All of us went through really, really thorough training through the Second City Training Center. And it just like, I think we're all graduates of the conservatory program. And that in itself is a year-long program for which you have to have a year experience before you even do that conservatory program. So it starts with a lot of training. And we trained at, you know, not only the Second City, but other improv theaters in town. And it's a lot of people that tour and work at Second City have been all around, have done shows all around, have studied different types of improv. So it's people who have taken classes for years, 5 to 10 years. And I think that basis is really important for all of the performers at Second City. The experience of, you know, doing a Second City show is like no other. I mean, it's the best training you could ever have for television or film or for writing or anything like that. Using improvisation to create comedy, to create theater, to create, a wonderful way to share ideas. I think that the Second City does that like no other place in the world, and therefore they create these incredible performers that are versatile and just really, really interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. And Neil, what's involved in that training? Is it mostly improv? Are you doing a lot of physical body training too?
Yes, you know, our training at the Second City does start with improvisation. And the way they structure the program there is, you know, you're absolutely right, Kathleen. You know, we do go into training the physical body as well. You know, all aspects of improvisation, from vocal technique to physical technique, to sort of intellectual and emotional techniques within that as well. I would say that the training program really focuses on all of those elements. The product of the training center is a versatile improviser that is also able to use that improvisation to create scripted or sketch comedy, which, you know, for example, our show in Milwaukee, a good portion of the show is scripted, and those scenes were created through improvisation.
You also have to, in this particular field, know a whole lot, not only about human emotion, human situations. You have to know the political world inside out, don't you?
I think so. And, you know, Kathleen, we're very lucky. We're, you know, on the national touring company. So, you know, we're all across the 50 states performing. And you know, we can see how a scene does in Charlotte, North Carolina versus how it does in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it really is, you know, a litmus test or a bellwether in a way to the political climate of the country. So in a way, we're almost creating that political content, but at the same time gauging the response that we get from it. So it certainly does involve being aware of, you know, political opinions all across the board.
Hmm. Well, you, of course, have found that Milwaukee is very sophisticated politically, like no other place in the country, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's been great.
Yes.
Yeah.
What else could you say, huh? And what about this thing of being funny? I would, you know, so many of us, we've talked about this in the office. how do you know you're funny? I mean, and isn't it a difficult thing to stand in front of this audience and hope that they're going to laugh at you, and you've worked darn hard for years to make sure that they will, but you don't know if they're going to?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me at least, I knew I was funny, but not in like the positive way. Like, oh, that's a like kind of like, oh, I'm a weirdo for sure. I know I'm weird. So maybe I could turn this into a positive in some way.
Right.
That's kind of how I stumbled upon maybe thinking that I could possibly be funny.
It's also funny when you're performing and sometimes you say a line and you're not trying to be funny,
yeah.
but just the way that you say it, or it kind of catches you by surprise sometimes, especially the improvisation
right.
when you
totally.
Hear the laughter. It's like, oh, there's something there. Let me explore that a little
yeah.
bit more.
So you three are on the road all the time.
Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that a bit tiring?
It can be a bit, you know, when you're gone for such a long time. But it's so fun. It's such
yeah.
a fun time to be out on the road and getting to see a lot of places throughout the country.
Yeah.
And luckily, we travel with an amazing group of people.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We are only three of our touring company. You know, we've got a musical director, a stage manager, and two other performers that travel with mm-hmm. us. And honestly, we feel like a family
yeah.
because we're together all the time. And so mm-hmm. honestly, for me, speaking personally, I mean, that makes the experience wonderful. I know that these mm-hmm. folks have my back. I've got theirs. And we get to explore, learn, and observe
yeah.
these amazing things.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's never boring, you know, traveling all across the country. There's always, you know, a new experience to be had or something new to learn. It's really kind of like a second education because, just like you said, I mean, we're going to all these different places where, you know, no two places are the same and, you know, politics are different everywhere. So sometimes when we go into a city, you know, we kind of research it beforehand, you know, what's going on here,
yeah.
who's the mayor, what's going, you know, what's up in this town. So it's never, it is, yes, tiring at times, but you kind of forget how tired you are when you're so excited to be doing it.
And full disclosure, Eddie and I actually have a tradition on the road where in the van we will we'll Google all the ice cream shops.
That is very true.
And call to see when they're open to make
yeah.
sure we get a taste of whatever whatever city we're in, whatever ice cream they have to mm-hmm. offer. Eddie and I will get our
yeah.
hands on
Neil
it.
Neil and I are the ice cream connoisseurs of this company.
Yeah.
Well, you're
for
in
sure.
heaven if you're in Milwaukee because we have custard, right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
It is
Cox
so good.
Frozen custard.
Yeah.
It is
the best.
So good. Do you almost feel as though your lives are similar to those of, say, a professional athlete, that it requires so much energy and so much traveling that you have to do this job when you're young?
I think it helps to get started at a younger age. You know, I started doing improvisation in high school. We had a weekly improv show that we would do. And just doing that, I mean, sometimes performing during our lunchtime in front of two, three, four people, mm-hmm. Just the reps helps, you know. The more you do it and the earlier you start, I think, helps. But I think anybody, you know, that wants to do it can get started whenever they'd like.
Right. I mean, just to give a counterpoint to that, another big part of improvisation, I think, is bringing your life experience.
Yep.
And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, folks that have had a little bit more life experience often have a lot more to bring to the table.
Absolutely.
So, you know, all of us in teaching improvisation, which all three of us do in different capacities, it is fascinating to have students of different ages
mm-hmm.
because I think you really see how that reads. You know, I've taught classes, you know, with some folks who are older than others, and it is just it's great to see what they bring to the table.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to welcome some phone calls for all of you, and we'll hear a lot more about the Second City's Dysfunctional Holiday Review, which is currently in Milwaukee, the home of the best ice cream in the entire country. It's at the Marcus Center, Vogel Hall, and three of the performers in that show, they are part of the National Touring Company, are with us. Kate Friedman is with us, Neil Dandade and Eddie Mukika, and here is how you reach us. I know that many of you in this area have traveled to Chicago to see Second City because it's not that far away, and heavens knows it's been around since 1959, so you've had a lot of years to make the trip to Second City to see the great performers. And plus, they're in Milwaukee now with their seasonal dysfunctional holiday review. Here's our phone number. If you would like to join our conversation, we would like to hear from you. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. The Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and you can, it's going to take the whole show to talk about how you can get a hold of us. But you can also tweet, and that's at K Dunn Show. Some of you may have seen some performers who have gone on to make it really big, too. Some of the early performers. I remember an interview we did with Alan Arkin not that long ago, and he credited Second City with really starting his fabulous career. You may have seen some of those people, Stephen Colbert, Gilda Radner. There are so many. Barbara Harris. So we'd like to hear from you. Again, 800-486-8655 is the number, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Every weekend at the Glass Nickel and up in Madison, and I just get a kick out of it every time we go see it.
How did he start doing that, Rich?
He just found it. He started going back to school, and it was some courses they offered a couple years back, and he just got involved in it. Mm-hmm. And he's just grown with it.
So he wasn't another one of those guys who fell asleep at med school classes?
I got a feeling he was.
He was.
There are a lot of us out there.
Thank you very much, Rich, for the call. Yeah, is this something that has blossomed all over the country? So we see Second City, but a lot of other clubs around the country?
I would say so, yes. Yes, I think more and more, actually. I think there are theaters and groups popping up in a lot of cities. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Second City as well. We have shows that are you know, we go to other cities. You know, as we are in Milwaukee for a couple weeks, mm-hmm. we similarly have theatrical runs in different cities that go for certain numbers of weeks.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rich, for the call. Tasso in Appleton writes: I had the pleasure of visiting Second City on a Saturday evening in the spring of 1960. Place was packed, and my date and I had to share a small table with another who was there to see the show, Mike Nichols.
Wow.
It's quite a memory, isn't it? And was it because of the work that he and Elaine Mage did that inspired Second City?
Well, I believe it was, yes. And I also believe that they were part of the group that founded the theater, the Compass Players.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They are. I was listening to the radio years and years ago, and Dustin Hoffman was on. And for some reason, he started talking about Mike Nichols and Elaine May, and he said, if I were you, I would go out and get one of their comedy CDs. And I did exactly. It was one of those radio moments. I was driving, and I said, all right, Dustin, I'm going to do that right now. And so I went to a store immediately and bought Nichols and Elaine May. And am I ever glad I did. I haven't listened to them for a long time, but they are so funny, aren't they?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Absolutely classic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's the great thing about the Second City. There's so much history there, and you also never know who's going to drop by, mm-hmm. To see a show, and sometimes jump up and join them in the third act, which after the shows they have an improvisation, which mm-hmm. they do if you're ever in town. And you can come and see a show and not know that you're going to all of a sudden be seeing someone who used to be at Second City or has now gone on to bigger and better things. So, yeah, it's great.
Would you be afraid if you knew that? If you knew somebody who had been at Second City or somebody you've always admired was in the audience?
I think I might be a little nervous.
A little bit.
Yeah. I think so.
It'd be nice to find out after the fact, oh, so-and-so was here, as opposed to you're about to walk on stage
right.
and find out that they're there watching.
Yeah. I remember Arkin said that Groucho Marx was in the theater one night. He was performing. Groucho Marx, one of his heroes,
What a memory. That is...
incredible.
Yeah.
No pressure there.
No pressure at all. And what about the three of you? Who do you find very, very funny?
I think that's a great question. I think a lot of it has to do, I grew up watching Saturday Night Live kind of in my era, which mm-hmm. was kind of the Mike Myers and Chris Farley era. So a lot of that type of humor speaks to me in a sense of it's very comfortable and familiar and sort of I'm used to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I grew up, every Saturday my dad would stay up and watch Saturday Night Live, so I would join him and around the same time watching those guys that Neil just mentioned. And also my dad would introduce me to stand-up, watching like Steve Martin from, such a young age. Yeah, so guys like that you just kind of grow up watching and based on the time where you grew up kind of influences your style of comedy as well.
Totally.
Kate,
yeah,
how
Steve
about you?
Martin.
Steve Martin.
Yeah, Steve Martin's one of my favorites. And growing up, I kind of had like a small obsession with Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And just think, I mean, think he is the funniest person.
Because he was kind of weird, and so are you, right?
Yes, yes. That's true. All right. That is true.
Right, that could be. Well, there's nothing like, we used to do comedy shows quarterly here on the station. There's nothing like a good laugh. You just need to have a good laugh.
I think so. I think there's something cathartic about a laugh, especially, you know, we're performing in the Marcus Center, which is the theater space. And it's interesting to think about all the theater that happens there and all the catharsis of, say, a more serious show. And I think it's equal catharsis with a funny show, honestly. I think you do leave relieved. You do leave feeling like a weight has been lifted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These comedy Second City groups now, please tell me the extent of them. They're all over the country now, right? There are groups and in Canada. There are groups performing in Second City groups in Toronto.
That's right. We have a stage in Toronto. We're on the high seas with Norwegian Cruise Lines as well.
Really?
So you can catch the Second City pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I also believe there's a Canadian touring company as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Dysfunctional Holiday Review, which is going on right now through December 16. Marcus Center, Vogel Hall, you're doing seasonal satire. Is it fairly easy to be satirical about this wonderful season of Christmas and Hanukkah? Or is there a wealth of material?
Yeah, I think there definitely is a wealth of material. With any like comedic endeavor, having a focus or a topic makes, you know, a few constraints on what you're able to build makes it easier to create something really, really strong. So, you know, we spent a really long time writing the show. Some of this is our original material along with archive material from the theater's 52-year history. So, you know, we had a lot of time to really think about the holidays and what's funny about them, what's obnoxious about them, what's annoying, you know, family things. It was an easy task, one that we really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to piggyback on what Kate is saying, you know, we just finished a political season as well, an election season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're on the road doing these shows, you know, during the election cycle and during the holidays. And it's interesting to see that there is a wealth of material in the holidays and the political cycle as well. And they're slightly different. I feel like the holidays are so emotional. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, emotions evoked from that. And I think as comedic artists, it's really fun and interesting to switch to that mode that's a little bit less intellectual and more emotional, perhaps.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference? Do each of you have a preference? Would you prefer to be doing political kind of comedy or this kind of comedy that we're seeing in Milwaukee right now?
Me personally, I enjoy doing all of them. I know that answer might be kind of a cop-out, but I like that we do, we focus on holiday material. Mm-hmm. Now. Then we'll, once the holidays are over, we'll focus on, you know, our regular show. And then later in the year, we visit a lot of colleges, so we'll do college material. And then, you know, it's kind of like a rotating cycle. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to that we get to address all of those different areas, but, you know, we get to visit them at different parts.
Yeah.
And at different times of the year. So we're not kind of doing holiday stuff all throughout the year and burning ourselves out.
Right.
Are you sick of Christmas carols? You know, this year I realized they're you can hear them a bit too much.
Oh, they're everywhere. Christmas carols follow you around. I mean, literally, carolers are not needed because radio, you know, and every store you walk into, I mean, the carols will find you, I think.
Neil and I were talking about this the other day in the dressing room, how it seems like there's only a certain number of songs done a whole bunch of different ways that you hear all throughout the holidays.
What was I reading over the weekend? I can't remember where I read this, that some, was it in Canada? This would happen in Canada where they're entirely sensible. But they were getting complaints about some stores playing right before Thanksgiving. You know, we do it almost on on the 4th of July in this country. Uh-huh. But they were playing, and people were complaining, and so the stores stopped playing them. But then they realized that the sales went down because part of what they were doing is repeating the same songs at a pretty high pitch because it got you in this shopping frame of mind, right? If you heard the same song, you would go and shop.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
sure
absolutely.
Does.
Yeah. So how do you handle it? Do you do this? Because there is some angst, of course, involved with the holidays. Do you deal with that? Do you deal with the brother that you don't get along with? Do you deal with the alcoholic aunt? Do you deal with all of those issues? And can you make those funny?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely, for sure, deal with those issues. I can think of a few scenes we have in our dysfunctional holiday review that hit those topics directly square in the head. I think that, we hope that we make them funny. And in a lot of ways, you know, we don't really have a choice but to make them funny because
that's
we
your
don't
job.
Make it funny. Yeah. Right, yeah. If we don't make it funny, it's going to be really awkward when we do a really sad scene about our, you know, a drunk aunt. Right. You know what I mean? So we try our best to make them very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And maybe some of the comedy comes out of the shared experience of, you know, we all have them, you know, some of it is a little angsty, but we can all relate to it and thus all laugh about it.
So when you sit down to write this, you said a lot of this one is scripted, although you do improv. How do you do that? How do you collaboratively come up with something that's funny?
Well, I think the great thing about this, the way the Second City works and that whole process is I can sit down and you know, sit at my desk and kind of come up with an idea, bring it to the table, and then we'll read through it. But at the same time, we'll do it again and again a couple times. And then we'll kind of toss the script and just kind of do some improvisation through the basic idea. And then it's a nice collaborative effort of, you know, bringing those little ideas to life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always great, you know, just like Eddie's saying, you can sit at home and write a scene and I can think like, oh, I'm going to write this scene for this wonderful character that Eddie has of this like really suave guy. And you really don't know how great a character can be until you see someone, you know, playing it. So let's say I bring a scene in you know, it's my first draft. I'm definitely going to rewrite it after I see, you know, my castmates perform it. Or if we just read through what I wrote one time and then we improvise it, it's going to give me a totally different, you know, take on the scene. It's going to give me a lot of wonderful little gifts that will actually make the scene as best as it could be.
And do all of you see yourselves as performers who do comedy, or do you see yourselves as performers who are doing comedy right now but could just as easily do tragedy?
I think that's a great question,
yeah.
And I think it's different for everyone. For me personally, some of my training, I also, you know, I have training in improvisation, but I also have training in performance as well, in sort of traditional acting.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, and the way I was trained, I don't see a large difference between the comedy and the tragedy mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, thinking about how laughter sounds versus how crying sounds, and how they're so similar, mm-hmm. and both are a catharsis. I think. Personally, for me, I think it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, I would say if people ask me, what would you, you know, if you could sum yourself up in one word, I say actor before I say
right.
comedian. You know, we're definitely performing comedy pieces. But the great thing also is a lot of these scenes have those moments where you're just acting and there are those sweet and moments where you're either it's a relationship scene between two people who are dating and there's that moment where, you know, the laughs have subsided and
right.
there's that moment that's, you know, a real tender moment.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that. Oh
no, no, no! Please, please.
Yeah, I thank you, Kathleen. I think that
you're welcome.
I think what Neil and Eddie have said are really important and exclusive to actors at Second City. Everybody at Second City is hilarious, and there are a lot of people that are really funny. There are phenomenal stand-ups and, you know, wonderful people on television. But I think the thing that makes a comedian from the Second City, you know, very special is that we're also all actors as well. Mm-hmm. We're not doing stand up. We're doing a theatrical piece, and there's a lot of heart to it. So you have to have a little bit of an acting bone in your body to do the work that we do.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play a game. I'm a little apprehensive about this, but let's just then we're going to ask a couple listeners to play, too, but I'm going to play the first round. And listeners, you can play along after. You'll get the idea of what we're doing after I get the idea of what we're doing with our guests. So if you want to call in and play one of these games, this could really make your day. 800-486-8655 is the number. 800-486-8655. All right, what's the game?
Okay, great, Kathleen. So you're actually going to help us out. What we're going to do is Neil and Kate are going to play out a scene. And normally, if we were on stage, we'd ask audience volunteers. But you're going to be our audience volunteer, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you'll be great. So they're going to play out a scene. We're going to get a suggestion. And then anytime during the scene, because throughout our lives, sometimes we say things that we wish we could take back. So during this scene, I am going to, at any point, I can stop them and I will say, take that back. And they will have to change their last line of dialogue as many times as I deem fit until I find something that I enjoy, and then we'll continue the scene. So at any point, if you feel like, you know, they have prompted you and have left the space for you to say say something. We'll get to that later. Right now, we're going to do a little game called Take That Back. So if I can get a suggestion of anything that reminds you of the holidays, Kathleen.
Santa Claus.
Great. Santa Claus.
Our suggestion for the scene is Santa Claus.
Wonderful.
Oh, Marcy, I got all the gifts wrapped. I guess I gotta jump in the old suit, huh? Kids will be here in any second.
Yeah, I thought you'd be ready by now.
No, I like to really get into my Santa persona.
Oh,
take that back.
You know, I really like to get into my Kris Kringle persona, you know?
Take that back.
You know, I really like to get into my employed persona, because when it's not the holidays, I don't have a job. But during the holidays, I play Santa.
Tom, we don't have time for this. The kids are going to be home any second. If they see you dressed like that, they're going to know Santa isn't real.
Take that back.
They're going to know that their parents are liars.
Take that back.
They're going to know that there's no point to Christmas. Do you want to deal with that right now?
You know what? Yes. I'm feeling really existential this holiday.
Take that back.
I'm feeling really presentational this holiday.
Take that back.
I'm feeling really presentable this holiday. I cut my hair. I shaved my mustache.
Take that back.
I styled my nails.
Take that back.
You know, I shrunk my face. I just stuck to an all vegan diet and I lost a lot of weight. And
you look amazing.
Well, thanks. Santa can be thin too.
Yeah.
It's a stereotype that he's overweight.
Oh, tell me about
Nothing
it.
Nothing wrong with it, but it's a stereotype.
That's true. Oh.
Take that back.
That's false.
Take that back.
That's a cuckoo ka-choo.
Cuckoo.
Let's have a drink.
Let's be
and
the walrus.
So that would be the end of that scene. Thank you so much for the suggestion, Kathleen.
Very nice. It was obvious, but you weren't. That was good. We welcome your phone calls. We're talking about, is there a way, can we do this with an audience member too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. We have a different game that's where we'll use the audience volunteers throughout the game.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we need a volunteer right now, right?
Oh, sure. If you'd like to play the game right now, we can. It's a bit different. I can explain how the game works. And then if you'd like to get a caller in, or if you'd like to volunteer yourself.
All right. No, I'd like to have a caller volunteer.
Absolutely.
Right. All right. Let's ask a listener to call in and volunteer. Would you please? I know you will, because you're a wonderful audience. 800-486-8655 is the number. They'll explain. It won't be hard. We won't be putting you on the spot. But if you'd like to play a game with the cast members from the Dysfunctional Holiday Review, Second City, the National Touring Company, they're in Milwaukee until December 16, although they're joining us from the studios of WBEZ in Chicago right now. We need a volunteer. We need a volunteer. I'm surprised all four phone lines aren't just blinking. 800-486-8655 is our number. And we'll be with you in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, not only do we have one line going, all our lines are going now. So we'll ask for one of our people on the line to volunteer for whatever it is we're going to be doing. Kate Friedman is with us, Neil Dandade and Eddie Mujica, and they are part of Second City, and they are part of the review, the Second City Dysfunctional Holiday Review, which is at the Marcus Center Vogel Hall now through December 16. All right, let's put Sarah from Racine on the line. And Kate, Neil, and Eddie, tell Sarah what she needs to do, please.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for calling. Now, we would like to play a game with you called Pillars. Now, what's going to happen is Neil and Eddie are going to begin a scene, and at various points during the scene, you might hear them pause in the middle of a sentence, and that is your cue to go ahead and fill in that blank with any word that comes to mind. So, for example, someone might say, I went to the store to buy a gallon of, and...
No.
Perfect.
Exactly.
That is,
you got it.
That's exactly right. You're a natural, Sarah. That's perfect.
And
so anytime you hear that pause, feel free. You just jump right in. That was absolutely perfect. So to get Neil and Eddie started, Sarah, could we have a suggestion of two things or a thing that you can do during the holiday that two people could do?
You can go shopping.
Wonderful. Shopping is the suggestion. Thank you.
Hey, Phil. I know we've been out here shopping for our wives for a long time, and I'm hoping to find the right gift. I mean, my wife keeps telling me that she wants a...
goose.
She wants a goose?
Yeah.
Yeah, she wants a goose. I mean, she's, trying to add to her collection of farm animals.
You know, flocks of geese are really in this year. I think 2013's the year of the goose.
I think so.
Yeah, you know, my wife asked me for a bit of waterfowl. She asked me to get her a...
hunting jacket.
Hunting jacket. Go find the waterfowl herself, independent woman. That's why I married her.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the reason I brought you along is because I wanted to buy you a gift as well.
Oh, that's nice to get your buddy again.
Of course, you're my best buddy. Remember, you told me that you wanted me to get you a...
snow globe.
Snow globe.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm a dreamer.
Yeah, you like to just shake things up a bit and see where things fall.
Yeah, do a little dreaming at my desk.
Yeah.
Well, you know, friendship is a two-way street, and I live off the highway.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why I got you this.
Nativity scene.
Nativity scene.
A whole nativity scene?
Got you the whole scene.
Oh, great.
Yep, don't put the kid in until after Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a trad.
I'm glad we're having this time together. You know, the holidays, they just remind me of...
Easter.
Easter, you know, because when I think of holidays...
Birth and death, absolutely.
That's right.
It's a cycle.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you know, my gosh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
you know, now you're talking about Easter. Now you got me feeling all...
Happy and joyous!
Oh, great. It sounded like you were going to get sad
there.
Yeah,
I was a little sad about it. Well, you know, it's a dip. It's a trough
kind of
thing. But now I'm up and I'm ready. And I just love reverence.
Oh,
and scene. Thank you
Wonderful.
So much, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Oh, this was so much fun. Can we do it again?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Let's go to Leslie in Milwaukee. Hi, Leslie.
Hi there.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Leslie. You know, actually, we are going to play the same game, Leslie. We are going to play Pillars.
Okay.
But this time, Kate and Eddie here are going to play. And as you know, for any listeners who have just tuned in or to remind ourselves, they are going to start a sentence that ends with the fill in the blank. And all you have to do is fill in the blank. Doesn't matter what you put in that blank. They will use it for the scene. So, Leslie, for a suggestion for the scene, you know, one of my favorite things that I look forward to in the holidays is eating food. What's something you absolutely love about the holidays?
Food-wise?
Or just in general, what's something you look forward to every holiday?
Let's say candles.
Candles. Wonderful. The suggestion for this scene is candles.
Oh, hot.
It's so hot in this room.
I know. I think I lit too many candles, but I was just trying to make it romantic.
Oh, well, sweetie, I appreciate it. I love the music we have playing. I love the food that you've prepared. I also love the...
sleeping gown that you picked out.
Ooh!
The sleeping gown. My, red is a wonderful color on you.
Oh, why, thank you. I tried to go for something sexy yet very modest. Mm. The sleeping gown is very special. It has a...
domestic quality.
Domestic quality that I've been dreaming of fulfilling since I was a little girl.
Oh, yes. This is great. You know, I have you here at home. You know, I'm working, and then I come to this, and my life is complete. I mean, I feel like I...
should be smoking a cigar.
Should be smoking a cigar. And I know you usually don't like it when I do, but I'm going to smoke one right now.
Well, sweetie, you know how I feel about smoking. I think smoking...
is so awful for your health.
Is so awful for your health, but you just do it anyway.
What do you mean?
See, that's what I'm talking about. You probably have...
laryngitis.
Laryngitis or something.
I've got the old laryngitis.
And that's definitely from smoking those cigars.
Well, it's okay because I went to the doctor and he said that I had laryngitis, but all he said take two...
vitamin C's.
Vitamin C's and I'm good. Laryngitis is gone.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know about this doctor. You know, I went to him the other day after I sprained my ankle, and he told me to...
take herbs.
Take herbs, which did not work.
Well, I mean, the guy's great. He's got great Yelp reviews, okay? That's how I found him, on the old internet.
Oh, my gosh. I don't really trust the internet anymore after we went to that...
Hypnotized
us and stole all of our money.
That's right. The hypnotist is the one that made me start smoking in the first place.
Scene. Thank you very much. I think we learned a lot about public health in that scene.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Yeah, that was great, Leslie. Those are fun. That would be a fun game for everybody to play over the holidays, so you wouldn't be dysfunctional. Everybody would be laughing, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Kate, you really do have this really welcoming thing about you. Is that that must be the way you perform, too. People just want to give you whatever words you need, right?
Oh, that is very sweet, Kathleen. Thank you. I hope so.
Yeah, you do. It's in your voice. Do you have one more game we can play with Chris from Duluth?
Sure.
All right. Hi, Chris.
Hello. You guys are awesome.
Hi, Chris.
Thank you.
Great, Chris. We're just going to roll in and do the same exact game, keep it real simple. So this time, Kate and Neil will play out the scene. And similarly, we'll be doing, you know, the same exact thing where I will get a suggestion from you, and then they will play out this scene. And then at any point during the scene, if you feel like they are prompting you with a fill-in-the-blank statement, then go ahead and say the first thing that comes to your mind. There is no wrong answer. And then the scene will go from there. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Great.
Okay, great. So all we need is a suggestion of what's a location that you like to vacate to for the holidays? Like, Hawaii or a ski resort?
Arizona.
Great, Arizona. Thank you so much.
Wow, so here we are, sunny Scottsdale. You excited, hon?
Oh, I'm so excited. It's so nice to get out of that frigid weather.
Absolutely. Gosh, great to get out of Duluth every now and then, huh?
Oh, gosh, I wish we could get out more, you know? I'm just feeling really run down.
Yeah, you know, me too. I really need to recharge. I think I really need to...
climb a mountain.
You know, just climb a mountain. Just recharge my batteries by exhausting myself on a glade somewhere, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, don't overdo it, okay? You know what happened the last time we went on that hike down.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I got the scars to prove it, I remember.
Gosh, I mean, when you were injured, I just felt...
so happy.
So happy. I love seeing you down.
Oh, distance makes the heart grow fonder. I think injury makes it grow the fondest.
Truly. Yes. But I don't want you to feel that again. I mean, this is probably the only vacation we can take for the next year unless we...
Rob a bank,
which I'm totally down for.
I brought the masks.
You thought we could. The masks?
Let's rob one or two, and then maybe, what are you thinking,
gosh.
Indian Thai tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just let's rob one bank first. You know,
honey, you took such good care of me when I was sick. I really need to get you a...
large teddy bear.
A large teddy bear. You know, just so you know what it's like to be around a big guy, because I'm so small myself. You know, I'm so short. I'm such a shrimp. I figure, let's get you a large teddy bear. You can wrap your arms around it, and it'll make up for what I don't have, you know?
Oh, sweetie, don't say that. You might be small in stature, but everything
else is...
You'll
always be my Gumby.
Great. You'll always be my Gummy.
And you'll
see. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me play your game.
Nice.
Oh,
thank you
for playing.
You're great.
Thank you for playing the game, Chris. Thank you. You guys are good. I enjoyed that. We could do that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We could do that all hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk just a little bit more about, because some of the work that you guys do is really great. There's a philosophy, I don't know who started this, if it's always the case, been the case, that you give a lot of money, Second City does, in charitable donations to community and social programs. I really like that. Isn't that heartwarming? That's a good thing.
Absolutely. You know, Eddie and I actually used to work in the outreach and diversity division of Second City, which is all about going into communities here in Chicago that might not have access to improv classes and such, and actually teaching those classes. Eddie and I have both been teachers for that program, and Kate as well. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. It's a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's been great. And then also for the holidays, a great thing that the Second City does, they've been doing for the past 10 years, it's something called Letters to Santa. And the way it works is around this time of year, after all the shows, they begin collecting donations from the audience. And the owner of the Second City, Andrew Alexander, he matches all the donations. And then all that money goes to families that are in need, that have written letters, that they're in need for the holidays. So then when we take these letters, and then these families are selected, and then on Christmas Day, Second City staff members show up to their houses, knock on their doors, and surprise
really?
Them with gifts. Yeah, it's great. It's great. And it all culminates in this event that we have every year. It's 24 hours of improv, Letters to Santa. And it takes place this year, December 18th. Mm-hmm. It takes place at the Second City in Chicago. It's also streamed online, so you can find out that information at secondcity.com. But it's a great event. It's 24 hours of nonstop improv. There's musical guests. There's auctions that take place throughout the event to raise money. A lot of Second City alumni come back, whether it's people who are on SNL or whatnot. It's a really great time, and that's a great thing that we're able to be a part of, and just one of the many examples of Second City giving back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And about the show that you're doing in Milwaukee, tell me just a little more about it. Is it different, even though it's scripted, I would imagine because of who you are and what you do, that it's different for every performance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Some scenes are really heavy hitting with one audience, and they're, you know, and then the next audience has another favorite. It's different every time, and especially with those little, you know, improv slots that we have within the show between the written scenes. The improv makes every show just so different than the one before it and the one that's going to come after it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really incredible.
Let's talk to Joe in Prairie du Chien. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Say, I'm curious. Does comedy give us a window into diversity? When we're offended, does it give us an opportunity to understand other people's opinions?
I think that's a fantastic question.
Yes,
and I think so. I think so. You know, one thing I love about Second City style comedy is, you know, we're willing to point the finger at others, but we're just as willing to point that finger to ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, to sort of echo what you're saying, you know, to make fun of ourselves and to experience that discomfort of pointing out our own faults, mm-hmm. I think absolutely helps us to see a variety of viewpoints.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank
Joe.
You.
Thank you.
Great question.
Isn't public radio great, guys?
Yes.
It is.
It's amazing.
I know. All these great questions. Who could ask for anything more?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, you've been just delightful. Thank you very, very much. And I'll look forward to seeing you and to watching your careers. You're also talented.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Thanks for having us, Kathleen.
Yeah, our great pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. Joining us from the studios of WBEZ in Chicago, Kate Friedman, who says she is incredibly honored to perform with the Second City. She is a Chicago native who also performs weekly with her best friends, the Katie Dids. Isn't that nice? She's been seen in comedies all over the world, including the improvised series Breakups, nominated for Best Actress, Midwest Independent Film Festival of 2011. Neil Dandade, also honored to be performing with the cast of Second City. He is from outside Philadelphia, where he studied theater and decided he didn't want to be a doctor. He can be seen performing at I.O. and the Annoyance Theaters, and Eddie Mojica from Hialeah, Florida. He was awarded a scholarship through Second City's Outreach and Diversity Program. He performs around town with the Boys of the Promise Ring, and we thank him for being with us. It's tomorrow we're talking about Sam Cooke, right? Not only are we talking about Sam Cooke's life, we're going to play some Sam Cooke. We like to do those kinds of shows. They're ever so much fun to put together, and I know many of you thought he was quite a genius as well. So tomorrow, second hour, Sam Cooke. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all of your calls. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produced this program. Great conversations ahead, starting with Larry Mueller in just a few moments here on the Ideas Network.